Hey, Wowzer fams, the Wow in the World pop-up party Laboratory of Bad Ideas is ready to head out on our last two stops of 2019, and oh, what a year it's been. Before we hit the West Coast in a couple of weeks, I just wanted to make sure that if you live in Los Angeles, you get your tickets soon. Tickets for our show in Seattle on November 2nd are completely sold out, and VIP tickets for our shows in Los Angeles are completely sold out. But, and this is a big but, every week leading up to our November 17th show in LA, we are upgrading one lucky family to VIP status, ooh la la, with post-show meet and greet passes. Why? Well, because we want to meet and greet you, that's why. LA fams, to find out more about our Bad Ideas sweepstakes, just visit our Wow in the World Facebook page and look for the hashtag Bad Ideas. And to get your tickets to the LA show, just visit tinkercast.com/events. And remember, we will be upgrading one lucky family every week leading up to the show, so four more chances to win. And East Coast families, don't think we forgot about you. We will be kicking off 2020 in New York City on January 11th at the Town Hall and Bethesda, Maryland on February 29th at Strathmore Hall. And even more cities throughout North America will be announced soon. Tickets are going fast, so hop on it. More info can be found at tinkercast.com/events. That's tinkercast.com/events. That's it. And now let's get on with the show.
Proceeded. 3, 2, 1. Ignition.
Get ready for an adventure of magnificent proportion.
I don't know what you've been told, but we're in a golden age. So many discoveries that are jumping off the page. Why we're the world.
Hi, Mindy.
Good morning, Guy Raz. Are you ready to attack this day with vim and vigor, or yes?
I just had the longest, craziest, most confusing dream.
Did you say dream?
Yeah, I've got to tell you all about this dream.
Bad connection. Can't hear you talk about your crazy long dream.
That's weird. Everything sounds fine on my end. You know what, Mindy? I'll just come over and tell you all about my dream in person. It's too long to share over the phone anyway. I'll be right over.
Bad connection!
Mindy, open the door. I know you're in there.
Good morning, Guy Raz. You're looking bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning.
Okay, now back to my long, crazy dream.
This is gonna take all day.
So I was in outer space, but it didn't look like regular outer space. It just stumbled upon the International Space Station, only it looked like a gas station. It was mixed with shooting stars, and it was spraying from the pumps, and then there was a slug lord that ruled all over the astronauts, but the astronauts were actually hermit crabs, and they were dressed in pink flamingo space suits, and there was space junk flying everywhere, and then a robot space worm lost its head, but when I turned around, two heads had grown back in its place.
Wait, what did you just say?
I went to outer space, I saw a worm lose its head,
yeah,
and then I saw that same worm grow two heads back in the same place.
Okay, Guy Raz, what if I told you that at least part of your dream came true?
Astronaut hermit crabs in flamingo spacesuits?
No, going to outer space and coming back with two heads.
Mindy, what are you talking about?
So, you've heard of flatworms before, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's this one type of flatworm called the planarian flatworm. And there are these super flat, tiny little worms with kind of triangle-shaped heads, and you can usually find them in certain bodies of water.
Oh, yeah, I've never actually seen one, but I've heard that they're some of the most resilient creatures on Earth that, when they get knocked down, they get back up again.
Well, yeah, that's one way to look at it. I mean, you can chop them up and chop them up and chop them up, and those chopped up little worm bits will not only survive, but they'll regenerate and regrow to create entirely new whole flatworms.
You mean that if a flatworm's head becomes separated from its body, the head will grow a new body?
Yep, and the body will grow a new head, and even new eyes and a new brain.
Hey, that's a little like a starfish or a lizard. Mm-hmm. You know how a lizard can regrow its tail even if it gets pulled off?
Yeah, and all sorts of amphibians can regenerate their body parts too, like newts and axolotls and salamanders. Oh, and there's even an African spiny mouse that can regrow its skin if it gets bitten off.
Well, I guess studying these animals must be really important for medical scientists, especially the kinds of scientists who, you know, who study people who've lost arms and legs.
Exactoritos.
Gosh, I wish I could see one of those planarian flatworms in person.
Oh, well, in that case, why don't you just step this way, Guy Raz?
Where are you taking me?
Now open this mysterious screen door to the backyard. Watch out for the cats!
Whoa.
Right?
Mindy, what is that?
Guy Raz, feast your eyes on my flatworm petting farm.
Ugh.
And it's open for business.
Mindy, you filled an entire baby pool with...
the world's largest personal collection of flatworms? Go ahead, check one out.
No thank you. I would not want to hurt it.
Hurt it? Guy Raz, you can literally chop these things up into little pieces and they will still survive and regrow themselves.
I don't know, Mindy. They look like little aliens.
Go ahead, it's fine. Here, put these on. You can see them a little bit closer if you're wearing magnifying goggles.
Okay.
But you're smart to be careful because some flatworms really are dangerous. So generally speaking, unless it's me inviting you to my flatworm petting farm, you should probably just not touch them.
Okay, I got it.
Go ahead, pick one up and hold it like a baby.
Hi there, little guy.
Yeah, he is a little one, that's for sure. Even smaller than a grain of rice. His sister over there is twice his size.
Mindy, I think he likes me.
Aww.
Hey, it looks like you might need some glasses, buddy, don't you?
Oh, yeah. The other thing about flatworms is that for some reason, a bunch of them have googly eyes, which makes it hard for them to drive cars and to shoot bows and arrows.
What?
And while this guy and his buddies are cross-eyed, there are some species of flatworms that have a bunch of eyes spread all over their bodies, and some with only one eye, and even some with no eyes at all.
Well, then, how would they see?
Well, they don't, really. In fact, none of them do.
But this little guy's got two googly eyes.
Well, besides being there to make him look adorable, those googly eyes are there to help him detect light so that he can squirm away from the light into the darkness to escape predators.
So you're saying that after seeing me look at him through these magnifying goggles, he wouldn't even be able to recognize my face?
To him, Guy Raz, you and I might as well be the same person.
Well, it is true that all humans are 99.5% identical based on our DNA sequence.
Oh, boy.
Wow, these are interesting creatures, Mindy.
Right?
Aren't you interesting, you little creature? Aren't you? Yes, you are.
Oh, and he can't hear you, Guy Raz.
What?
I said he can't hear you,
I can hear you. I can hear you, Mindy. It's just that if he can't hear me, then why does he have these cute little ears on his head?
Oh, so those little ear-looking things are actually not used for hearing sound.
But?
They're used for detecting chemicals.
So they taste and smell with their ears?
Well, yeah, kinda. Crazy, right?
Yeah, I'll say. So where's his mouth, or does he eat with his ears too?
Guy Raz, how many times do I have to tell you that food does not belong in your ears?
I believe I was the one to tell you that when you tried to store your chewed bubble.
Yep.
But then how does this little flatworm eat? I mean, I don't see a mouth on his little googly-eyed head.
Oh, that's because his mouth is not on his head.
What?
Because it's on his belly.
His mouth is on his belly and not his face?
Mm-hmm.
Is it this tiny tube on the underside of his body here?
Yep, that little tube is called a pharynx, and it's attached to his mouth.
So what does he eat?
Well, if you look over on that table by the fence over there, you will feast your eyes on an all-you-can-eat buffet that I have laid out especially for my flatworm petting farm.
Wow. That's really impressive and cute.
Mm-hmm.
So many tiny foods.
I know.
Let's see what you've got here. Let me see through the magnifying goggles.
Here we go.
Ugh, are those water fleas?
Water flea tacos? I added the taco part.
Do they like eating flea tacos?
Oh, yeah. Beats the alternative when sometimes they eat each other.
Ugh.
It's terrible.
So how do their little tube-like mouths work?
Well, let's watch.
Oh. Perfect, here comes a flea.
Okay, so it looks like he spots his prey.
He's going in for it. Oh, now he's wrapping himself around the flea.
Just like a boa constrictor snake.
And now he's devouring that flea through his mouth and tube.
Poor flea, didn't even see it coming.
Look at him, just sucking the flea through that thing.
Now, I should also note that besides his mouth and the pharynx tube attached, there is no other opening in his body.
But, Mindy, what goes in must come out.
Yeah, so, this part's a little gross.
Uh-oh, don't tell me.
Yeah, so he,
Don't say it, Mindy.
So since he doesn't have a butt...
No.
He poops out of his mouth.
Ah!
He poops out of his mouth, Kairos!
We interrupt this program for a brief barf break. Wow, in the world will return in 3, 2, 1.
Here, buddy, just wipe it up with this.
Ah, that's my tweed blazer.
So back to your dream, Guy Raz.
Yeah, great idea. I'm just going to go home, go back to bed, and forget I ever, ever saw your mouth-pooping worm farm. I'm just going to...
Guy Raz, what if I told you that some of these flatworms were astronauts?
I'm listening.
Now imagine this. A little group of wormstronauts wearing teeny tiny spacesuits and helmets launch into outer space on a mission.
Are you making this up, Mindy?
Only some of it.
Okay, what was the mission?
Okay, that part is real. So Michael Levin, a professor of biology at Tufts University in Massachusetts, sent these flatworms on a mission to the International Space Station in low Earth orbit.
He sent worms on this mission? I mean, I know a lot of humans, including me, who would be more than willing to do this.
Guy Raz, their mission was to show scientists here on Earth how microgravity or weightlessness in space might affect the way these flatworms are able to regenerate and regrow.
So why did Professor Levin and these other scientists want to find this out?
Well, they were curious to see how living in space for long periods of time might affect the cells or the tiny building blocks of life inside human bodies.
So earlier, you mentioned that if these flatworms were to, say, come apart...
You mean get chopped up?
Yeah. So if they were chopped up, they'd be able to regenerate or regrow into multiple whole flatworms.
Yeah?
So I have to ask, were these wormstronauts whole or, you know...
Chopped up?
Or chopped up when they went to space.
Glad you asked, Guy Raz. So some of the worms were whole, but 15 of them were not.
Ugh.
Since these scientists were so curious about the flatworm's ability to regenerate in space, they sent up a bunch of headless, tailless, three-part worm fragments, or wiggly nuggets, or bits of chopped-up living worm bites, or...
I get it. I get it. So how long were they up there?
Well, their footloose and fancy-free space station vacation lasted for a whopping 5 weeks.
Well, that must have been nice.
But after that, the party was over, and it was back to the lab for another 20 months.
Well, why so long?
Oh, because the scientists needed time to study them and to take note if they did anything weird.
Weird
Compared to what?
Weird compared to another group of flatworms that stayed here on Earth and did not go on an all-expenses-paid space station vacation.
So, what did they discover?
Well, for one, when they surprised all of the flatworms with a little Petri dish pool party, the wormstronauts freaked out. They curled up into little balls and basically just forgot how to swiggle and swim for like 2 hours.
And do these scientists have any idea why?
Well, it's pretty complicated, but let's just say that some important things changed inside their bodies that caused them to grow differently.
Interesting.
Oh, and remember how I said that their eyes were used more for detecting light than for seeing?
Yeah.
Well, the scientists tried a little experiment where they shined light on one part of the flatworm's little Petri dish pool.
But you said that these worms used their eyes to help them move away from light.
And they do, here on Earth.
But after spending a few weeks in space?
After spending a few weeks in space, they no longer seemed bothered by the light. They didn't even try to get away from it.
And Mindy, you mentioned earlier that fragments or parts of these flatworms were sent to space. Were they able to regrow themselves like they would here on Earth?
Okay, so this is where it gets really crazy.
Oh boy.
Hey, Roz. Out of all of the flatworms and flatworm fragments that were sent to the space station, one of them came back with...
Came back with what?
Wait for it.
What?
Wait for it.
Mindy!
Two heads!
What?
Two heads, one on each end of its body.
Just like the robot worm in my dream.
Just like in your dream.
But... two heads? I mean, is that normal?
No, it's definitely not normal. I mean, this kind of thing almost never happens to flatworms here on Earth. Oh, and it gets even weirder.
How could this get any weirder?
So then, the scientists chopped off both of its heads.
Ah!
Oh, don't worry, Guy Raz. Flatworms do not feel pain the way we do, so...
But still, okay, what happened when they chopped both heads off?
Well, the middle part of the body just grew two new heads, one on the top, one on the bottom, and over the course of the year, these scientists snipped off its heads two more times, and every single time...
The two heads would regenerate or grow back again?
You got it.
Unbelievable. So spending time in outer space really changed something within these worms. I mean, do the scientists know what caused the changes?
Well, it seems to be a combination of a bunch of different things.
Like, I guess, loss of gravity or weightlessness and the extreme G-forces from takeoff.
Yep, just like those G-forces on that roller coaster ride we took.
And I'd imagine just the trip alone would have an effect.
Oh, for sure. The vibrations from the travel, the stress of takeoff and landing.
Wait a minute. I experience that kind of stress every time we take a trip on your carrier pigeon, Reggie.
Not the same thing, Guy Raz.
Yeah, fair enough. But do we know how these things caused this worm to sprout two heads?
Well, that's what these scientists are studying now. And one of the things they're hoping is that by understanding what happened with the flatworms in space, they'll have a better idea of how to help our human bodies regenerate and heal after injuries here on Earth.
And I imagine this might give them a better idea of how long periods of time in space might affect our human bodies as well.
Indubitably. And studying these wormstronauts might give scientists more ideas on how to safely send humans to space for long periods of time.
And maybe even lead to new inventions like flatworm-inspired regenerative space robots like in my dream last night.
Sky's the limit, Guy Raz.
Well, actually...
Actually, if there's anything we've learned from this story, it's that there is no limit.
I mean, just look at this pool of flatworms, Mindy.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that one of them will grow arms or a tail or something.
Hey there, little guy.
Careful, not too close.
Oh, you little flatworm, my buddy, my pal, the future hope for all mankind.
What,
Mindy, I knew he'd recognize me.
Yeah, Guy Raz, that's a different one.
Wow in the World will be right back. Grown-ups, this message is for you.
Support for this podcast and the following message for parents come from Boar's Head, Every foodie knows that if you want a taste of something incredible, look no further than your local deli. And of course, the crown jewel of the deli is the uncompromising quality of Boar's Head, the keeper of this culture for over 100 years. Just take a ticket, and your counter concierge can help you find fresh, flavorful delicacies, customized just the way you like it. If you're looking to expand your culinary horizon, the deli counter awaits with a slice of something fabulous. Boar's Head. Compromise elsewhere. Support also comes from Clif Kid. Clif Kid understands that kids' active bodies and imaginations need the proper fuel to keep going, growing, and exploring. That's why they make Clif Kid Z-Bar, a delicious soft-baked energy snack bar packed with wholesome organic ingredients. Get 20% off your order at checkout when you visit cliffkid.com/NPR and use promo code NPRKID.
Maddie Sofia here, host of Shortwave, a new daily science podcast from NPR. Listen for new discoveries, everyday mysteries, and the science behind the headlines, all in about 10 minutes. It'll be fun. You'll learn some stuff. And yeah, it's gonna get a little weird. 'Cause science. Listen and subscribe now to Shortwave from NPR.
That's it! Back to the show!
Wow in the world!
Hi, thanks for calling Wow in the World. After the beep, get ready to record.
Hey, Mindy. Hey, Guy Raz. I'm Sai, and I'm from Arizona. And my wow in the world is that the toughest tongue twister in the English language is the sixth, sick, sheik's, sixth, sheep's, sick. And it's really hard. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, Mindy and Guy Raz. My name's Oscar, and I live in Los Angeles, California. And my wow in the world is before clocks were invented, clockwise was called sunwise.
Hi, Mindy and Guy Raz. My name's Olivia, and I'm from New South Wales, Australia. And my wow in the world is that stars are thousands times bigger than the moon. Bye, I love your show. Say hi to Dennis, Reggie, Grandma G-Force, and Thomas Fingerling for me.
Sure.
Bye, I love your show.
Hi, Mindy and Guy Raz. My name is Arthur, and I'm from New Orleans. My wow is that the lower part of the turtle shell is called a plastron. Hi, Mindy. Could I have baby lockjaw for a little bit? Bye.
Hi, Mindy and Guy Raz. My name is Muhammad, and I live in Forest Church, Virginia. And my way around the world is that scientists believe that megalodons weigh as much as 10 elephants, and they also believe that they were 60 feet long, and their skeleton is made out of cartilage. That's the stuff your ear is made out of. Bye!
Hi, Mindy and Guy Raz. My name's Eleanor, and I live in St. Louis, Missouri. My wow is that the Mariana Trench is deeper than Mount Everest is tall.
Hi, Mindy and Guy Raz. My name is Shiva, and I live in Austin, Texas. My wow in the world is that jellyfish sting even when they're dead.
Hi, Guy Raz and Mindy. My name is Lucian, and I live in Denver, Colorado. And I want to tell you about sweat bees. Did you know that sweat bees live underground? I didn't know that. Did you also know that they don't sting and they're shy of humans? I hope you have a great day today. Bye! And say hi to Reggie for me. I like his squawk.
End of messages.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for hanging out with us this week on Wow in the World.
And to keep the wow rolling, check out this week's scientific conversation starters at our website, wowintheworld.com.
And grown-ups, there you can find more info on how your kids can become members of the World Organization of Wowzers, shop our Wow Shop, upload photos and videos to us, and check dates for our upcoming live events. That's wowintheworld.com.
Our show is produced by Jed Anderson,
who provides the bells, whistles, and silly characters. Say hello, Jed.
Hello.
Our show is written by me, Guy Raz, and Thomas Van Kalken, who also provides silly characters. Tom?
Hello there.
Thanks also to Jessica Bodie, Casey Kofer, Rebecca Caban, Kit Ballinger, and Alex Curley. Meredith Halpern-Ranzer powers the WOW at Tinkercast.
Our theme song was composed and performed by The Pop-Ups. For more info on their two-time Grammy-nominated all-ages music, find them at thepopups.com.
And grown-ups, you can follow WOW in the World on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at WOW in the World. And our email address is hello@wowintheworld.com.
And if you're a kid with a big WOW to share with us, call us at 1-888-7-WOW-WOW for a chance to be featured at the end of the show.
Also, if you haven't already done so, please subscribe to WOW in the World on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, leave us a few stars, a review, or just tell a friend about the show.
Thanks again for listening, and until next time,
keep on wowing.
Jinx!
Wow in the World was made by Tinkercast and sent to you by NPR.